I first meet Mark Shand as he skips down the stairs of his Windsor, Connecticut home after his night shift at UPS.
Karen. Nice to meet you.
At 50, he's bald, muscular, and fit, thanks to years of daily prison workouts. He's just changed out of his work clothes into a fresh black T-shirt with white writing. It says, "I didn't do it."
Oh, I can't believe you're wearing that T-shirt.
That's right. Oh, yeah, we wore that just for you.
His wife, Maya, who's 53 with long black cornrows and bold silver jewelry, is wearing the same shirt. It was printed by Centurion Ministries, the advocacy group that helped get Shand out of prison.
When we got out, everyone in court had one of these on. They had them for the babies, for the infants, and everyone.
He's referring to October 4th, 2013, the day a judge vacated Shand's 1987 murder conviction, granted a new trial, and let him go. Maya can still hear the cheers of about 100 friends and relatives in the courtroom, including Shan's 3 sons and 2 granddaughters.
It was just so overwhelming that it finally happened.
That was the day Shand first saw the house where Maya raised his youngest son, and where he ate his first non-prison food in more than a quarter century.
Yeah, my wife said, "Here's your lobster tail." First thing I ate was lobster.
Within 2 weeks, the Hamden County District Attorney decided to drop all charges, and Shand could start his life over. Maya taught him to drive again.
It was like teaching a teenager.
He learned how to use an iPhone, opened a bank account.
So I was just basically trying to, you know, feel my way after being stuck in one building for 27 years. You know, it was a little surreal having my freedom, being able to look at the bottom of a tree, which I hadn't seen for a while, being able to go and come and go when I please.
Yet Shand did not consider this a new life, so much as a return to normal.
I felt like I was yanked away from a situation where I shouldn't have been. So when I was released, I felt like they just put me back where I was supposed to be.
In 1986, Mark Shand was 21, living in Hartford with Maya, who was pregnant. He had 2 older sons with an ex-girlfriend. He says he was weeks away from opening his first clothing store when he was arrested. According to court documents, a drug deal near the After 5 nightclub in Springfield had gone bad. A man fired shots, one of which killed a 25-year-old bystander, Victoria Seymour. A witness testified that Shand was the shooter, though Shand claimed he was nowhere near Springfield at the time. His lawyer, John Thompson, spent decades trying to prove that witnesses lied and that police and prosecutors coerced testimony and manipulated lineups.
It's very clear that Mark is not the person who committed this crime. The evidence against him was largely bogus.
It took investigators from Centurion Ministries, a New Jersey organization devoted to freeing the innocent, to finally convince the court Shand did not get a fair trial. Shand says years of bitterness evaporated in a moment.
Believe me, the day they released me, I couldn't find it. Yeah, the anger, it wasn't there. I was just happy I was out, and I figured I'd just focus on that day forth.
That has turned out a lot harder than Shand expected. For one, he's not eligible for any reentry services from the Massachusetts Department of Correction. Only inmates who've served their sentences and are on parole get housing assistance, job training, counseling, and financial advice.
I mean, I knew there was programs for guys that did the crime. I just didn't know there was nothing for guys that was wrongfully convicted. That was a little shocking to me.
A state spokesperson confirms this. Once charges are dropped, you're out of the system. Shand did file a legal complaint in early 2014 with the Massachusetts Attorney General asking for restitution. The maximum is $500,000. His lawyer says they hoped for a quick settlement, but now have to prove in court he was wrongfully imprisoned, a long process. In the meantime, Shand has been on his own to find work.
Yeah, I've probably had a little fantasy. Everybody like, "Oh gosh, he was wrongfully convicted," and there'll be like 20 jobs waiting for me. Nobody cared.
With help from a teenager at the local Goodwill, he went online, a concept that didn't exist when he was arrested. He applied for dozens of jobs, from factory assembly lines to Federal Express. Shand says no one called him, and it wasn't hard to guess why. Most applications ask if you've been convicted of a crime, and there's no box for wrongfully convicted.
If I was employed, I'd go on to the next applicant. If I got 300 applications online, I'm going to take the 2 that said, "Yeah, I've been incarcerated before," I'm going to push them aside and go to the 298 who said, "No, I've never been incarcerated." So I understood it, you know, but at the same time, I needed a job.
His wife, Maya, who works as a hairdresser, tried to keep up his spirits.
He was getting frustrated at first, and I said, "You just have to keep trying because it's going to happen."
His first break came, he says, when he applied in person for a job at a group home for troubled kids. A manager asked why he left the previous employment section blank.
I said it was because I was incarcerated. She said, well, sir, if you was incarcerated, you can't work here. So I told her, I said, listen, Google my name and you'll see the story. Apparently she did, because this was the lady that gave me my first job.
Shand worked there for 7 months, he says, until he was laid off. He got his job at UPS because a friend put in a good word. It's a brutal shift. Starts around 3 a.m., emptying tractor trailers full of heavy boxes.
4 or 5 hours with a 10-minute break. You know, it's got my body aching and everything. It's not ideal, you know, but it's work.
He gets just under $11 an hour and expects to qualify for benefits soon. But it's not what he wants to do. When he was a teenager, his father, an entrepreneur, taught him how to run a business. Before his arrest, he'd hoped to put those skills to use at his first clothing shop.
Who's to say what that would have been right now? That could have been a clothing empire. Who knows? What that could have been a chain of clothing stores.
At this point, he'd settle for owning a fast food franchise, if he can ever build up enough credit to get a loan. Until then, the Shands try not to obsess over what could have been. But they don't hide Mark's story either.
Well, read that one.
He turns his forearm to show a tattoo.
Well, it says 26 years, 11 months.
It lists the exact amount of time he spent in prison.
And 8 seconds.
They also show me their basement, which is wallpapered with photos and news clippings from Shan's prison years.
That's my kids in prison visiting me when they was little.
In several pictures, he's got his arms around new friends he met through Centurion Ministries. Most of them fellow exonerees, as he calls them.
He did 15 years. He did 20 years. He did 30 years. It's not a lot of guys with more time than me, but there's some.
Although Shand considers himself exonerated, he was not acquitted. Theoretically, the state could charge him again for Victoria Seymour's murder, though his lawyer says that's highly unlikely. Even so, whenever Shand hears about a crime on the news,
the first thing that comes to my mind is alibi. Like, I want to make sure I know where I was, because I feel like I could be set up at any time again.
While his lawyers push for restitution, Shand has filed a separate civil rights lawsuit against the cities of Hartford and Springfield. Even if he wins a settlement,
you know, they can't make that whole again, no matter what, you know, but I think they deserve to try.
Representatives for Springfield and Hartford say they don't comment on pending litigation. The lawsuit is likely to take years. For New England Public Radio, I'm Karen Brown.